Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. It's a familiar passage for us today. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Amen. Again, this wasn't orchestrated, but I'm wondering if you can notice the correlation between some of the songs that we sang and some of the words that Pastor John already said about laying our burdens at the feet of God. And that has woven all through this morning, and that was not organized. We didn't have a meeting to discuss what we were going to talk about, but this is what God has for us today. And so this morning I would like us to spend some time looking at this passage, looking at these words of Jesus. It's a familiar passage for us. And what a great comfort these words are to us. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus has recently sent out his disciples. In Matthew 10, one chapter earlier, Jesus sends out his disciples. By chapter 12, we see Jesus once again with his disciples walking through a grain field and getting into trouble with the religious folk. Again. And so by chapter 12, the disciples are back. And so perhaps in verse 25, where it says, "at that time," the words "at that time" may refer to the time in which the disciples returned to Jesus with the stories of their journey. And perhaps they had just shared who responded to their message and who did not. And so perhaps they said something like, "Lord, the children and the needy and the common, they accepted our message. They believe. But Lord, the wise men and the scribes and the rabbis and the teachers, they did not believe." And so I imagine Jesus' prayer must have caught them off guard. "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." But you may think, wait a minute, how can children grasp what the wise and the understanding miss? How? Faith. Or rather, who they have faith in. You see, the wise and the understanding, well, they have faith. They have faith in their wisdom and their understanding. Everything they heard from the disciples had to be filtered through their own philosophy and their own understanding of the law and the prophets. They heard the same words, but they understood them very differently. Because of their faith in their own wisdom and their own understanding, they miss the truth. They miss the gospel. They miss Jesus. They knew the law and the prophets. They were scholars. They were teachers. They were leaders. They knew their stuff. They knew the scriptures. They memorized the words of God. And yet they missed the very one the words were talking about. They worshiped an image of the Creator and an idea of the Creator, but not the Creator himself. In Jeremiah 29:13, God says to Israel, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Our God never goes against his word. If these men had sought him with all their heart, they would have found him. But they sought something else. God never goes against his word. But let's not be too judgmental on these that Jesus is speaking of. Why should we not be judgmental? Because we do the same thing. We do it with God, and we do it with people. Have you ever noticed that two people can see another person do something and have two vastly different interpretations or understandings of what was done? If you haven't noticed that, you haven't been watching TV lately. You haven't been watching news lately. Sometimes we're more interested in our understanding and our interpretation than we are the truth. We look at a person and we think we know them. And everything they do is filtered through what we think we know about them. Someone might do a wonderful, kind service, and because we see them with a bitter heart, we see only darkness. It's filtered through our understanding. We all do it with one another, and we do it with God. I often have people come to me and say, well, not often, but fortunately, but I have people in conversations come to me and say, you know, I don't believe in God anymore. And I say, well, why not? And they say, because this, that he did wrong. And it's always from a place of misunderstanding of who God is. You know what I say to them when they explain out all these bad things that God is and that God has done? I say, well, I wouldn't believe in that God either. It's always from a misunderstanding of who God is. It's time for us to start letting people define people. People define themselves, and God define God. Jesus goes on in 27, he says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. You know, these words, this verse I just read, illustrate the very point I'm speaking of. Immediately, we see these words, and we see them through our own doctrinal perspective. And could it be that sometimes when we do that, we miss the idea of the passage? I see these words of Christ and I think, well, see, this must mean such and such. And this backs up my personal understanding and doctrine of such and such. And if I'm not careful, I can find myself falling into the role of the wise and understanding. What Jesus tells us is simple. It's not about us. It's about him. It's not about our wisdom. It's not about our understanding. We cannot understand God on our own. We cannot know him on our own. We cannot choose him on our own. He chooses us. Only Jesus can show us the Father. Not religion, and certainly no wisdom or learning of man. Only Jesus. For the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. Now let's listen to these next words of Christ. Beloved, hear these words. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Not your understanding of me. Me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? He is calling you. Do you see your need? Do you feel your weakness? He is calling you. Come, and he will give you rest. He means what he says, and he says what he means. He promises rest if we come to him. Promises rest. If we come to him. Aren't you glad that we have a God that promises rest? I don't know about you, but I get kind of tired now and again. Tired in my mind. Tired in my spirit. Tired in my heart. Tired in my body. This world can break us. This world can wear us out on every side. Emotionally, mentally, physically. spiritually, we need rest. So many of us get burnt out in our relationships, burnt out in our careers, burnt out in our callings. Why? Because we aren't going to the one who promises. Yes, promises rest. I see in my own life, I see this pattern. I know it. Burnout comes not when I am stressed or busy. Burnout comes when I am independent. Burnout comes when I have forgotten to come to the one who gives me rest. And I've been trying to do it on my own. Sometimes I don't even know I have been avoiding him. Sometimes nothing is different. I'm in the Word. I'm praying. I'm worshiping. I'm studying. I'm ministering. And yet in my heart, I haven't been coming to him. I've been going through the motions. And that's when I grow weary and heavy laden. Jesus promises that when we come to him, he will give rest. It's not the activity or the stress that burns me out. In fact, in the most intense moments of stress, in the most frantic times of ministry, it is then that I often feel the most alive. Why? I can tell you one thing. It's not because I'm such a people person. I love y'all. But I am an introvert, and introverts get worn out by personal reactions. So when I go home from youth group or Sunday, I crash. My strength is found in God alone. So why then? Why is it in those frantic times, those busy times of ministry, that I feel the most alive? Because it is in those times that I am the most dependent on the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is in those moments I know I cannot love like he does. I cannot lead like he does. I cannot live like he does. In those moments, I learn to let him. Now, don't take that as an invitation to come and stress me out. Just so I can further depend on Jesus. I'm not looking for trouble. But let's move on here. Jesus didn't end there. He offers more. He offers more. Let me say that again. He offers more. More than just a momentary rest. 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Many of us have learned to come to him. We grow weary, we grow depressed, we need God, we come to Jesus. And we find rest. We find rest because he receives us, he comforts us, he tells us of his love. And that pretty much sums up our relationship with him. We receive rest, we go about our business, we get worn out, we get discouraged, we come back to Jesus, we receive rest, we go about our business, we get worn out and discouraged, we come back to Jesus, we receive rest, we go about our business, and on and on. I've heard many speakers and teachers talk about the spiritual life like a roller coaster, full of spiritual highs and spiritual lows. Beloved, it doesn't have to be that way. It can be so much more. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus says. He's not talking about eggs. Take my yoke upon you. Y-O-K-E. The yoke is a tool that connects an ox or a mule or a horse to a cart or a plow. Some yokes are for single animals and others are for two or more. Yoking multiple oxen combines their strength in a single direction. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says that word. Take my yoke upon you. So he's just talking about rest. And isn't it kind of interesting that he's talking about coming to him and getting rest. And what does he continue his sentence with? Take this burden upon your shoulders. Take this yoke upon your shoulders. See, another aspect of being yoked is learning. Jesus calls us here to take his yoke upon us and learn from him. You see, in agricultural practice, one agricultural practice is to take a younger, less trained animal and yoke them together with an older, well-trained animal. The less trained animal would then learn from the older animal and become like the older in how they handled the yoke and the burden. The older would teach the younger. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That's what Jesus is referring to. And he goes on. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now listen to this. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. How can that be? My burden is light, says Jesus. How can this be? How can Jesus say such a thing? He who is to suffer and to die for our sins, how can he say that his yoke is easy? Jesus is offering us rest. Rest, not complacency. Rest, not worldly comfort. He is offering rest in him. Look at his words. They are an invitation. In saying his yoke is easy and his burden is light, he is not saying his burden is light for him. He is offering you. He is offering me an easy yoke and a light burden. No matter how heavy the weight might become, no matter how difficult the road, no matter how stuck in the plow, he's offering an easy way and a light yoke. An easy yoke and a light burden, no matter how heavy the weight might become. Why? Because it is he that bears the burden. And when we are yoked with him, we will learn to walk as he walks, to do as he does, to pull in his direction. And in doing so, when we are connected with him, we will find continual rest. Because he bears the burden and he pulls the weight. So we can remain in this cycle of weariness and rest and weariness and rest. And we can stay on that roller coaster, or we can come to God and yoke with him. Connect to him. Learn from him. And in doing so, find rest in the depths of who we are. Beloved, this is the key to victory that many of us have yet to know. I see so many lose heart, so many lose faith because they have never yoked with Jesus. Sure, you have these mountaintop experiences with Christ, these moments where you feel so close to him, these moments at camp or a concert or a great worship service or something where you feel God is right there and you're right there with him. You have those moments. But they don't last. And next thing you know, you're worn out, you're weary, and you're heavy laden. But you never yoked with Jesus. That is the key to victory. I see so many, even young people, come to me and ask that question. Pastor Brian, I was so close, and then I fell away. I was so close, and then I fell away. Have you ever yoked with Christ? Are you connected with him? Or are you just going to him to receive rest? He wants to give you that rest, and praise God for that. But he also wants you to be connected with him. You know, I'm not a father of inexhaustible strength. My son is a large child. I don't know if you've noticed that. He's a large kid. And Isaac loves trips to the zoo. I like him too. The problem with the zoo is that nothing is ever close. Everything cool is a mile away. on the opposite side of the park from where you find yourself. And Isaac always chooses the animals that are far away, which is fine. We need the exercise. But halfway through, even at 6 years old, this happens. And so what do? Well, I lift up this 2,000-pound six-year-old, and I put him on my shoulders until my knees start to buckle and my clavicles feel like they're about to break. But which would I rather? Carry my son when he is tired? Or have him pretend to be independent, pretend to be strong enough to walk the paths alone, pretend to be smart enough to know his own way around the zoo, only to find himself exhausted and maybe lost and alone? And you know, there's something beautiful in my child's outstretched arms. And I'm going to miss it when he's too old to do that. He'll probably do it when he's 18 and twice as big as I am. But when he stretches out his arms, it's him saying, I'm a child and you're my daddy. And I need you to carry me. And even if I'm not tired right now, but I want you to carry me. I want to be close to you. And that's why I carry my son. Because I want to be close to him. I'm not a father of inexhaustible strength, but our God is. His strength is perfect. And he can carry you and your burdens, whatever they are. Even that burden that you are afraid to show him, he knows it already. And there is nothing too dark. There's nothing too heavy. There's nothing too big for you to bring to him that he will not bear for you and carry for you. We must become as children again, unafraid to admit our ignorance, unafraid to admit our error, unafraid to admit our need, unafraid to admit our weakness. Beloved, we need rest. For far too long, we have been striving on our own, pulling on our own, pulling down paths we never should have chosen, pulling loads we were never meant to bear. Are we like the wise and the understanding, leaning on our own understanding? Scripture says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And Jesus says here, come to me. Hear these words. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Beloved, there is something better for you than the roller coaster. There is someone better for you. Come to him. Yoke to him. Learn from him. And find rest for your souls. Amen. As we go to prayer this morning, I want to just encourage you that if you're here today and you're burdened, it was throughout the whole service, and that tells me that someone is here carrying something that God wants to carry for them. And if that's you today, I want to urge you to stay and pray. Stay and leave your burden here. Become yoked with Christ and allow him to pull that weight and carry that burden for you. Lord Jesus, you are so good. We do not deserve to have you bear our burdens, but you call for us to do it. And so, Lord, we're going to take you at your word, that we can come to you and be lifted up by you, that we can come to you and find rest for our souls. And Father, there may be some of us here who have never yoked to you, Lord. We've had experiences with you, but we've never really connected with you for our lives. And so, Father, I pray today that that will be a change, that we might connect every moment, every part of who we are, even those parts that we're ashamed of, that we might connect with you, stick with you, walk with you, learn from you. It's when we do that, Lord, that we see the victory, that you bear the weight continually. Help us to come. Help us to come, Lord. And we praise you that we don't even have to come on our own strength, that your grace and your spirit can help us to come. So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.